This morning, we want to look at Psalm 23 in our Bibles. There was a famous actor who once was a guest of honor at a special gathering, and he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary workers or works. There's an old preacher who was there, and he asked the actor to recite Psalm 23, and the actor said he would on condition that the preacher would also do it. So the actor gave his recitation. It was beautifully intoned with great dramatic emphasis, which received lengthy applause. After that, the preacher gave his rendition. Now, the preacher's voice was rough and kind of scratchy. It had been used many, many years. He's a little older. His diction was anything but polished. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. Someone asked the actor what the difference is. And the actor replied, he says, "I know the psalm, he knows the shepherd." Makes a difference. Well, today we want to talk about Psalm 23 and the Good Shepherd. And it's probably, I suppose, a lot of people's favorite psalm. And today I think the main idea of this psalm is, in a nutshell, because Jesus is my shepherd, I know he will protect me and provide for me through all eternity. I think that puts Psalm 23 in a nutshell, and I hope that's something you can grab a hold of. Well, we're going to go through this psalm. It's only six verses by David, we're going to spend quite a bit of time, particularly in the first verse. First of all, the first three verses I would call the care of the Good Shepherd. First of all, the guidance of the shepherd. In verse 1, greatness. The Yahweh is my shepherd. Now, our Bibles say Lord with a capital L-O-R-D, and that's talking about, that's the name of God. We translate it Lord, but it's literally the name Yahweh, and Yahweh means the self-existent one, the God who is always there. He's always been, and he's always there. He is my shepherd. He's a great one. No one caused him to be. He existed from time immemorial. No one caused him. He just always has been. I can't put my mind around that. How can God not have a beginning? Because everything we know in life has a beginning. But not God. He's the eternal one. He's great. Personalness. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I hope everybody here can say with conviction, yes, Jesus is my shepherd. Caring. The Lord is my shepherd. He looks out for me. He looks after me. He's taking care of me. Supervising me. Protecting me. Sufficiency, the last part of verse 1, I shall not want. The Lord is sufficient. I will not want. Well, let's ask the question, who is this shepherd? Who is the shepherd? First of all, from an Old Testament perspective, a couple of verses I'd like you to look at would be Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. First of all, Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Now, if you like classical music and you've heard the Messiah, this is one of the arias. Verse 11 is, or at least a portion of it is. If Heidi were here, we'd try to get her to sing it. But she's not here, so it's a beautiful aria. The Lord, he will feed his flock. Well, that's from an Old Testament perspective. What about from the New Testament? And there we're going to look at several scriptures. First of all, John 10, 11, which talks about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, verse 10. Behold, John 10, 11. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So we know that the good shepherd died for his sheep. That's why he's a good shepherd. He's not just an employee, a hired hand. He owned the sheep and he looked after them. He died for them. Hebrews 13:20, the great shepherd. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. So we understand there that Jesus is the great shepherd. The great shepherd died for his sheep. Sorry, he rose from the grave for his sheep. The good shepherd died for his sheep, but the great shepherd rose again from the grave for his sheep. Here's another passage, 1 Peter 5:4. He is called the chief shepherd by Peter. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So the chief shepherd is coming back to reward his sheep. So three different descriptions of who this shepherd is. In the Old Testament, he was known as Yahweh, but we know from the New Testament that his name is Yahweh is salvation. That's Jesus. That's Jesus is the shepherd. All right, let's go back to Psalm 23 and let's talk about the good shepherd and me. Now, when I have something there in purple, you can't really tell that very well on that screen. That color, anyway, we're going to try to make an application from this for ourselves. So, what do we need to say about the good shepherd and me? First of all, I need to have a personal relationship with the Lord as my shepherd. That's a necessity. I need to apply that to me. I need to have the Lord be my shepherd. So the Lord must be my shepherd. He must be my shepherd. I want to say something about that at the end of the message, the Lord being my shepherd. I must receive the shepherd. The shepherd will not intrude into my life uninvited. That's the thing about God. He's the most powerful being. He created this universe. He created each one of us. But he will not force himself on us. He waits to be asked. He waits to be invited. John 1:11. He, speaking of Jesus, came to his own, literally his own things, it's neuter there, the own world he had made. But his own, this is masculine now, those who were his own people, the Jewish people, did not receive him. What a tragedy. He made the world and everything in it, but his own people, the Jewish people, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So to receive Jesus is to believe in him. To believe in him is to receive him. It doesn't mean just to mentally believe, oh yeah, I existed, but you believe him for yourself. You appropriate Jesus for yourself. You got to receive this shepherd, or else he won't be your shepherd. He won't be your shepherd. Now let's talk a little bit more about the shepherd and his sheep. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. That is fascinating. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. So the good shepherd knows his sheep, and the good shepherd's sheep know their shepherd. Secondly, from that same chapter, the good shepherd chapter, Jesus' sheep believe in him. John 10:24-26. The Jews gathered around him, around Jesus, were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Well, they didn't get the message. They didn't get the meaning of the miracles. They were resistant against him. And Jesus answered them, verse 25, I told you, and you do not believe. I've already told you. You guys just don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. That tells you the purpose of Jesus' miracles. Jesus didn't perform miracles primarily to show compassion, although he was compassionate. He didn't show miracles, perform miracles to impress people with his wow ability. No, he performed miracles to prove he was the Jewish Messiah. He was the king. He was their prophet, their priest. He says, these works, they testify of me. But, he said, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. That's a sad commentary. If you're one of Jesus' sheep, you'll believe. If you're not one of his sheep, you won't believe. That's pretty amazing. You think back in your life to all the people you know who've been exposed to Jesus, to Christianity, and I'm glad I don't have to decide who is a Christian and who isn't. Because I suspect that there's some people I think are Christians who really aren't. They're just going through the motions. It's a social club. They come to church to feel good, to be with their friends, be part of the club, but they've never trusted in Jesus. And then I think there are probably some people who I might criticize, say, well, he's not a believer in Jesus, but I'm afraid when I get to heaven, I'll be surprised by people who I think shouldn't be there and are there because they really have trusted in Jesus. They just don't maybe live their life quite the way I do. Well, John 10:27, Jesus' sheep listen to him and they follow him. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They follow me. Verse 28, Jesus gives his sheep eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Jesus gives his sheep eternal life. Verse 28a, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. I like that. I like that. No one can ever steal Jesus' sheep from him. The last part of verse 28 and verse 29. Last part of verse 28. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now, you're probably aware, but we have in Christianity, we have kind of a battle between some people who think you can lose your salvation and people who think you can't lose your salvation. I don't know of any stronger verses than these that spell out that the born-again believer in Jesus never loses his sheep. And if there's someone who looked to be following Jesus earlier in his life and now doesn't appear to be, well, we don't know what the last chapter is going to be, do we? We don't know what the last chapter is going to be. And it's not ours to judge. But it may be that someone who appeared to be trusting in Jesus earlier in their life and they've gone away and they stay away, maybe they never were in the first place. Maybe they never were in the first place. When I was attending seminary down in Dallas, I worked for some painters. They were all Christians. But one of the guys I worked for to earn money to make my way through seminary believed you could lose your salvation. And he says, you're taking the plain passages like this, and you say, well, I can jump out of Jesus' hand, though. Jesus won't lose me, but I can lose Jesus. Well, that's not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying. Now, people who object to this eternal security, which I firmly believe the Bible teaches, say, well, then you can just live your life any way you please. You got a ticket to heaven, you're home free. Got your fire escape out of hell, live any way you please. That is not what the Bible teaches. There is a very powerful scripture which we often quote, Ephesians 2:8-9, that tells us that salvation is by grace through faith. Let me recite it for you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. But too often we stop there. And the next verse is very important. So don't just quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. What does verse 10 say? For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So I am not saved by my good works. My good works are the result of my salvation. So it is not accurate to say that a Christian can live any way he pleases. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that my good works demonstrate my salvation. They don't cause it, but they are the result of it. So anyway, just kind of balancing theology out there a little bit. Let's go back to Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, the provisions of the shepherd. First of all, abundant food. Verse 2, I told you we'd spend a long time in verse 1. Now we're going to go a little faster in verse 2 here. Abundant food. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Jesus provides good pasture for me. He provides good food for me. And I'm safe while I'm there. Accessible water. He leads me beside quiet waters. This is all a picture, a word picture of Jesus taking care of his people. Emotional and spiritual recharging. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. In the adult Sunday school class, we've been talking a lot about soul. Here's a soul passage. He restores my soul. Right living. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. So let's make an application here. The shepherd's provisions. He gives me security. He gives me security. He knows best what I need. He cares for what's going on inside me, not just my physical needs. And he motivates me to do the right thing. He motivates me to do the right thing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, we spoke about the word motivation. Let's talk about the motivation of the Good Shepherd, because he's doing something. Why is he taking such good care of us? Well, he's doing it for his name's sake. Jesus has a reputation, and he's trying to protect it. There's an application, the shepherd's reputation. He is concerned about his own reputation. I was just thinking this morning, you're driving down the highway, down the interstate or something, you see a truck, and you go by a truck, and it says, do you like the way I'm driving? Call 1-800-533-6354, something like that. Or don't like the way I'm driving. I'm not sure if I've seen both ways or not. But each one of us who is a Christian has it written right across the top of our forehead. Don't like the way I'm living? Call 1-800-JESUS and tell him about it. Okay? You don't just live this life for your benefit. You live your life for Jesus' benefit. He's concerned about his reputation. He guides you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't damage his reputation. Okay? Don't damage his reputation. All right, let's talk about verse 4, the companionship of the Good Shepherd. He provides freedom from fear. Verse 4. The human tragedy. We've talked about that this morning. People near death. We've all faced death one way or another. Human tragedy. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, freedom from fear. I will fear no evil. What is the source of that freedom from fear? For you are with me. You are with me. So let's make an application here. The Good Shepherd and fear. From verse 4, if I am fearful in life, it is because I do not fully appreciate that the Good Shepherd is with me all the time. If we're afraid, it's because we're not trusting God. Can I say that bluntly? If we have fear issues, it's We're fearful when we're not trusting God. There's an interesting story about from our own American Indian tribe's past. When a young man became initiated into manhood, he'd have to go out into the forest or somewhere all by himself. And he might be what we'd consider to be a fairly small child. He'd be left to fend for himself without any devices, just out there alone. A lot of young kids don't like to be alone, and they don't like the dark, and this Indian boy would have to be out there all by himself, alone, all night. You can imagine what an ordeal that would be. To his untrained senses and an unleashed imagination, every sound would seem to foretell an attack by some fearsome predator. Every shadow would conjure up a huge monster. But as day broke and the sun rose over the mountain, the boy's first sight would be his father. All night long in the silence, his dad was there with a bow and arrow. The kid didn't know it. But that's the way our Heavenly Father is. We don't need to be afraid. He takes care of us. Now, the next part, providing security through control. Psalm 23, verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the sheep might not always appreciate that rod and that staff, but it was there for the sheep's good. Let's make an application. The shepherd in control. The good shepherd tries to control me. How does he do it? He does it through his word, the Bible, and he does it through events in my life. There's nothing, no such thing as an accident in the life of a Christian. God always is bringing things into our lives, and they usually stump us. They make us sweat. They make us scratch our forehead. And they make us blink. And maybe they make us cry sometimes, but he's never out of control. He always is trying to get us to trust him. And I've said this before. If you want to use a baseball metaphor, it's kind of like God's the pitcher, and he's throwing pitches at us. And he throws them so fast, we can't hit them. We swing and we miss, and they're already in the catcher's mitt, and swing and we miss. Finally, we start learning to hit those fastballs. And then he changes to curveballs. Okay? And we swing and miss, and then we think we have those curveballs mastered. He starts throwing spitters or sliders or forkballs. And he's always throwing something new at us. I don't care how old you get, and I'm older not than everybody, but a lot of you, he always has a new angle to throw at us. He has a new way for me to learn how to trust in him. And so that's what we need to do. He uses his word, but he also uses events in my life to control me. And his control is for my comfort. It's not for my slavery. We think that these restrictions they're too restrictive. No, he's protecting us. And he's not trying to enslave us, he's trying to protect us. Verse 5, let's look at the generosity of the Good Shepherd. Verse 5, first of all, providing life's necessities even in hostile conditions. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All right. So here are the sheep out in the pasture, and the good shepherd provides a place for them, even when the enemies are lurking in the forest around, ready to pounce, but afraid to because of the shepherd. Let's talk about the shepherd and hard times. The good shepherd does not protect me from hard times. He's going to let us have hard times. He protects me through my hard times. And that's one thing we have to learn about Jesus. He's not interested in giving us an easy life. He's interested in maturing us. And you don't mature too much without hardship. Trouble is, as parents, too often we try to shield our kids from hardship. There's oftentimes a comment about a helicopter parent who's always going around hovering over his kid, trying to protect him from this and that and that and that. You know, kids need to learn pain. Don't deprive your kids of a good learning experience. And I don't mean dangerous pain, but sometimes physical pain is the best way a child learns. I've discovered that many times you can talk with kids, argue with them. When they get a spanking, that really does a big attitude adjustment. And they really learn, and they have a much better attitude then. So don't be afraid. The world deplores that, but God upholds it. Okay? Read the Proverbs and you figure that out. Don't let the world be politically correct and influence you how you discipline your children. You do it God's way. And I don't mean to be abusive, not talking about that at all, but sometimes some pain on the posterior makes a tremendous attitude adjustment. God doesn't protect me from hard times. He protects me through hard times. That's the good shepherd. All right, he provides refreshing hospitality. You have anointed my head with oil. That was a good thing for the sheep. It soothed them and it probably kept some flies at bay. Application. Let's talk about the shepherd and TLC. The good shepherd provides me with hospitality when he knows I need it. And sometimes God will bring, he'll take us through some hard times, but then he'll take us through a time where we can just, we can sit down and just relax and regroup and get ready for the next struggle. He knows how to do that. Providing fullness of life. My cup overflows. Application, the sheep and gratefulness. When we look over our whole lives, we must be grateful for how the Good Shepherd has cared for us. It really has been a good life. And I've gone through a lot of tough stuff in my life, but overall it's been a good life because that's what the Good Shepherd brings us. It's been a good life. Let's go to the last verse, verse 6, the confidence of the sheep. First of all, expecting God's loyal love throughout life. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. I think the King James said, surely, goodness and mercy. I had to chuckle to myself. We had these three ladies up here singing. Shirley was up there, but I don't know where goodness and mercy were, but we should rename the two others who were up there singing. You don't have to laugh at that. That's okay. Surely goodness and loving kindness, and that word really, that word loving kindness is the word loyal love. Some people talk about loving you, but they're not loyal to you. Some people are loyal to you, but they don't love you. Now, God is both. He is loyal and he loves you. He does both. And he does both those things. Let's talk about the shepherd and faith. Faith means we expect the good shepherd to bring good things into our lives. They may not always be easy things, but they are good things. Faith means we expect the good shepherd to be loyal to us throughout our whole life. Loyal to us. We know this scripture. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God is not here to call us according to our purpose. He has called us according to His purpose. So that's why strange things and sometimes painful things happen in life, because He has a bolder and a better purpose for us than we do for ourselves. He knows more. He knows what it's going to take to pound the rough edges off this diamond and chisel them and grind them off till we are a beautiful diamond just the way He wants us to be. Expecting unbroken fellowship. I like this one. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You say, well, how can that really be? Well, there is a way to do that. Application, the shepherd and home. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I know that New Jerusalem will be my final home for all eternity. When Jesus told his disciples in John 14, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to go to my Father's house and I'm going to prepare dwelling places for you. That's in the New Jerusalem. That's in the New Jerusalem. Preparing dwelling places for us there. I don't know how many times you've moved in your life. Some of you may have lived in Turtle Lake your whole entire life, or wherever you live, out in the farm, wherever. I would hate to count the times that my wife and I have moved. Sometimes it's not a very moving experience, but we move anyway. But we do have a final home. And it's not down here on this earth. It's there in New Jerusalem. By the way, just so you know, the New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, it says in Revelation 21 and 22, to the new earth. So we do have a future on this earth. It's going to be the new earth, though. That's a whole other subject. We'll have to talk about that another time. But New Jerusalem is our capital city. It's a huge city, roughly 1,430 miles wide, long, and high. And I don't know if that's a cube or a pyramid. It might be a pyramid. I kind of think it's a pyramid because I think Mount Zion is a huge mountain in the center of that. But we'll see when we get there for sure. All right, well, let's go back to Psalm 23 in a nutshell. Psalm 23 in a nutshell. Because Jesus is my shepherd, I know he will protect me and provide for me now and through eternity. There's the same thing. Look at that, at the pathway of life. Because Jesus is my shepherd, I know he'll protect me and provide for me now and throughout eternity. I'd like to close by telling you a story. Leith Anderson told this story. He said his father was a pastor for 50 years and he conducted numerous funerals. His father told a story about a little boy who was desperately ill, and his parents asked the pastor to come. And when the pastor got there, the little boy was comatose. But he took the little boy, he took his hand, and he didn't know if he could hear. He hoped he could, but he wanted to explain about the Good Shepherd. I hope I can get through this. The very special person, Lord Jesus, is right now my shepherd. He left. Boy couldn't talk. Came back the next morning and the boy had died. The parents talked to him. He comforted them as best he could. He said, can you explain? He was holding on to this finger. The kid got it. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? I hope so. Lord, I pray that Jesus might be the shepherd of each one of us. Amen.